Good morning. Yes, you can hear me, can't you, David? I see what you're doing there. That's called sarcasm. We've got some free cucumbers over here in the bag. Free. Has my name on it. They spelt it right. I guess they got it off my credit card. Yep. So last Sunday, there we go. Turn that down just a little bit. There we go. Okay. So last Sunday, it's called anti-feedback. I had to set stuff up. In a sanctuary the other day. And if you know those weapons, they call them non-lethal weapons, and they use sound and it just penetrates. Some say that's actually how the walls of Jericho came down, was they marched around and then it had that blast, and it was so powerful, it brought the walls down. That's the real deal, let me tell you. I was in the sanctuary, I was in the pulpit, and I've never had feedback in the sanctuary before like this. I felt like I was trapped, like I couldn't move. It was so, so it wasn't even close to what that is. All right. Today, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. That's still feedback-ish. I just made that word up, feedback-ish. That's feedback-ish. Good. Maybe we'll turn. Here, turn this down and this up a little bit. Okay? All right. How's that? I'm going to try it. God is good all the time. All right. Okay. Are you free today? Got some free cucumbers? Gosh. Man. Maybe it's me. Now I'm kind of feeling the sun, like it's enlightening me. So are you free today? Just listen to your wife and move on. Lesson learned. Okay. How's that? Is that okay? All right. I got to go back. This is very important. That's actually kind of the closing argument. I'm good. All right. Are you free today? What's interesting is, so that was last week's sermon title, and I liked it so much I wanted to go with it again today. And, you know, I had to send Jessica some information. So Galatians chapter 1, yes, last week was kind of an introduction to Galatians. The next few weeks, I'm not even going to tell you when it's going to end, because if you know Robbie and myself well enough, you know that we don't actually know when it's going to end. So today is Galatians chapter 1, I can tell you that. So I sent Jessica the email, Galatians chapter 1, and are you free today? And she replied, what do you need? I've got to do all this stuff. And I'm thinking, did I, like, call her by accident? Did I just, and then I realized what happened. she thought I was asking her, is she available? But she had plans Saturday, so she wasn't free. And I think we both laughed immensely over that. And that was part of last week. Are you free today? But it's about freedom in Christ. It's about the freedom that we have been given. And the book of Galatians is so founded and rooted in that idea. For freedom, Christ has set us free. The question is, what are we going to do with that freedom? And I read a piece from Dietrich Bonhoeffer talking about costly grace and cheap grace. And I really just want to read that again to get us started. Bonhoeffer writes, "Costly grace is the hidden treasure in the field for the sake of which people will go and sell with joy everything they have. It is the costly pearl for whose price the merchant sells all that he has. It is Christ's sovereignty for the sake of which you tear out an eye if it causes you to stumble. It is the call of Jesus which causes a disciple to leave his nets and follow him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which has to be asked for, the door at which one has to knock. It is costly because it calls to discipleship. It is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus. It is costly because it costs people their lives. It is grace because it thereby makes them live. It is costly because it condemns sin. It is grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, grace is costly because it was costly to God, because it cost God the life of God's Son. You and me were bought with a price. And because nothing can be cheap to us which is costly to God. Above all, it is grace because the life of God's Son was not too costly for God to give in order to make us live. God did indeed give him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. It is the birth of the King Jesus, who had a crown of thorns. Cheap grace, costly grace. And the beauty of costly grace is that it is free. That's the irony. Because it is a gift from God. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And a lot of the book of Galatians is pushing back against this group we call the Judaizers, who are saying you have to be circumcised, you have to keep the Sabbath, you have to be ceremonially clean. You can't eat shrimp, and you ain't going to have any bacon or barbecue. Okay? That's one reason why I'm sorry we missed the sunrise breakfast. I call that the covenant of pork. Because you can't have a sunrise service without bacon and sausage, right? So, costly grace. It cost God's Son his own life. I'm really glad to be here right now. I kind of came in with a sour attitude. I woke up in a great spirit, but when I got here and I had to set everything up, it's just getting annoying. Can I get an amen? Nothing? You're too hot and tired? Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I'm going to blame it on that because my brain's been messed up since I was in the sixth grade. Are you free today? I hope you can say you are. And I hope you can say that you're available for one another. So this morning we're going to get deep into Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to actually take us through the entire chapter. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we're gonna have a song, and then we're gonna have some announcements, birthdays, anniversaries. Forgot one last week, and we actually have some interesting things today to share with you, as well as some prayer concerns. So will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the idea and essence of costly grace that actually is free, that it is a gift that we must receive. But there's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. We simply rely on the righteousness that is found in Jesus, that our justification to be made right with God can only come from the person and work of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for this time that we can come together to worship, that we are in a free country that allows us to worship you. Help us to leave behind those things that are causing us to be burdened down. Those things that keep us from being free. Because Jesus says that the truth will set us free. And that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that he is the only way. And may this time that we have here this morning simply glorify you and inspire us to see the life of Bonhoeffer, that he lost his life for the sake of the gospel, and that the Apostle Paul, author of this wonderful letter, lost his life also for the sake of the gospel. Yet moreover, it was Jesus himself, God's only Son, who died for you and for me to set us free.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Well said. So a few birthdays. We missed Donna last week, July the 23rd, if I'm correct. And we also missed, if we want to do, you know, like day one is today. Well, yesterday was the anniversary, am I right, of Joanne and Alan Massey. What year did you get married? 64. Who married you? You don't remember? It don't matter, does it? Okay. That would have just added to my little pudding I got going on today in the oven. All right. So 1964. That's 1 year away from 1965. 7/25/65. I want you to remember that. 7/25/65. On that particular day, it was a Sunday. This is just trivia right now, but Bob Dylan was booed off stage. I don't know if he was booed off stage, but there was a lot of ruckus going on in the crowd. Anyone know why? Because at the Folk Music Festival in Newport, California, he was playing an electric guitar. And that actually sparked the folk rock music trend. But 7/25/65 is an important day. Birthdays this week. On tomorrow, we have, actually, tomorrow, 7/27, we have Henry and Elizabeth Watkins' anniversary. And we have Adderley and Russell Hamlet is their birthday. And Aubrey Vickers. And with mixed emotions, I'm sure, I talked to Juanita yesterday, that they're going to go and say happy birthday to Aubrey, but you know that they're separated, right? That's got to be tough. So, you know, please. Well, there's Russell right there. We can't sing, so we won't sing happy birthday. We got plenty of shade over here. So Aubrey is, his infection is improving, but he's still struggling. I mean, you got to think about, you know, this constant cycle of dialysis and quarantine. Dialysis and quarantine. And it seems to be a never-ending cycle. And Juanita is at home, but she's still, you know, struggling with pain. And need a chair? Oh, he's got two. He always comes prepared most of the time. Ray Insko had a procedure this week. Let's continue to remember him. Robbie informed me of a gentleman I'm sure you're unaware of. His name's Edward Constantine, who is an educator that Robbie has connection with. Mesothelioma. And then finally, continue to remember William Small and, of course, Linda. It was good to see her last week. William is just, you know, he's dealing with the reality that he's faced with. But, you know, he lives free. Think about that. You know, what are you going to do? You know, my dad always says people choose to do what people choose to do. You know, sometimes I wonder if the power of sin contradicts or pushes back against that mantra. But You know, what are you going to do with the time that you have? And how do we celebrate the gift of life that God has given us? And through the person and work of Jesus, who has set us free, that we don't need to fear death, whether it's by way of COVID, cancer, or a car wreck, because we've been set free. That death is not the end. Inevitable, unless Jesus comes back. So if you want to go back to that Thessalonians study we did, right? Regardless, one way or the other, we've got nothing to fear. Are there any other prayer concerns that perhaps I missed? Your sister? Brandon? How you doing? He's doing great. Everything okay? Good. Brandon had a little concussion. That's what happens when you are a United States Marine. You go out and you march and you never know. Just, you know. So it's good to see you, Brandon. Anything else? Let's continue to remember Mike and Lori. We just amazed. This is more than amazing. It's more than marvelous, right? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the celebrations that we recognize this week. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the freedom that you have given us. We thank you for the examples that we can look to throughout history. And we appreciate the examples that we see in our current world of individuals who continue to live life to the fullest. Jesus said that he will set us free, but he also said that he gives us life to the fullest. Help us to move through those moments where life seems heavy, where the couch might seem to be a little deeper, and to help us to get on our feet and to walk and to stand and to encourage one another. And to continue to remember that Jesus has offered us not an easy life, but a life where our burdens are lighter. For he who was without sin took on our sin so that we may be justified and righteous in the sight of God Almighty. Help us to live free in this world that sometimes is just hard to be in. But you have called us to be in the world, but not of the world. And this morning, help us to just be inspired by your word. That you inspired the Apostle Paul to share with us over 2,000 years later. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
There are souls to rescue.
the sake of the cross. The letter of Paul to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, modern-day Turkey, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So notice Paul lets us know from the beginning that he didn't receive this from anybody else. And he's going to remind us as we move forward in verse 6. I am astonished, or some translations might say, I am just marveled, right? He's blown away. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one. There is no other gospel. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. That there's nothing we can do to earn that gift. It wouldn't be a gift. But you have to receive it. And honestly, there's the essence of the costly grace versus the cheap grace. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. You see, Paul had been in this area, and he had founded these churches, Lystra, Derbe, and what he had preached to them was being distorted, because there were certain groups, or one particular group, that wanted to say, you can believe in Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, as Christ, as the risen Lord, but you're still going to have to keep all these other commandments and laws. And this is the impetus of this entire letter, that we are free. We're free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. But remember, freedom isn't totally free. It does cost us something, if it really counts for something. But it's still a gift. It is the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. It is through that salvific act at Calvary that sets us free. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. If you repeat yourself, that's probably important. And Paul's saying, I don't care even if an angel came down. This is not the real gospel. As if there is another gospel. There's only one gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. if anybody was a curse, right? Jesus became sin so that we would be free from sin. As the law said, you know, cursed is any man or person who hangs on a tree. They made crosses out of wood. You get wood from trees. So you can just do a little logic there and know that Jesus, right, he canceled the curse. Verse 10, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Here's some irony. Paul tells us how much freedom we have in Christ, but have you ever noticed how many times Paul, in certain translations, will call himself a prisoner or a slave of Christ? The last I checked, slaves and prisoners aren't free. But it is in Christ that we're free. As Paul writes in the third chapter, those who are in Christ, whether you're Gentile or Jew, male or female, slave or free, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is kind of the root of the old primitive Baptist ideology that no Sunday school, no theological schools, that you can't teach anybody the gospel. That it is inspired, it's a revelation from God. They didn't believe in musical instruments either, kind of like that Bob Dylan thing. Like, they were pretty ticked off that he was using an electric guitar at this folk music festival. That was kind of a revelation. That started a new revolution of music. Even John Calvin didn't like the organ. But primitive Baptists, no musical instruments. But they're set on, nobody can teach anybody the Word of God. That it comes from God himself. And let's go back. What was this revelation? Remember, Paul was on the way to Damascus to round up these Christians. And God himself had to come down and say, Paul, Paul, why are you crucifying me? Who are you? I'm the Lord. Boom, he's blinded. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. This is where Paul thinks he's doing the right thing. He's following the law to the T. He's dotting every iota. But that is not what sets us free. It is this revelation, this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus that changed the life of Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul, who dies for the cause of Christ at the hands of Nero. They say, legend tells us, that when Paul was beheaded, Roman citizen. That's the luxury of being a Roman citizen. You're not going to be crucified. You have rights. You get to be beheaded. And when they lopped off his head, it bounced three times. And they say three springs came out of the ground. And there's still a church called Three Springs in Rome where they say there's an eerie sound of water running under the church. What we do know is Paul was executed. Why? Paul was executed because he preached the gospel. Christ crucified. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, Arabia is pretty much going to be anything east of the Jordan River, Dead Sea, not just like Saudi Arabia. It's just that general area. So he gets to Damascus, right? Right, that untimely birth, right? That God had called Paul before he was even born. And it was this moment in time, en route to Damascus, that Paul had the revelation that Jesus revealed himself to Paul. And when he gets to Damascus, if you go back and you read chapter 9 of Acts, Ananias, right, he has this vision, and the guy is like, "You got to be kidding me, God. You want me to do what? You want me to take in this guy who's coming to kill us?" But he did. And he was baptized. And after Paul was baptized, these scales fell from his eyes. Think about the metaphor there of having, I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Because this is where Paul, this is where he found himself. That my grace is sufficient. And that's so many times we work so hard to work our way to goodness. But when we reach that moment, when we realize the truth that sets us free, that the grace of God, that's all we need. And now we're free to go into the world and to serve one another without this baggage of, I've got to be better, I've got to do more, I've got to build my profile, I need to brush up on my Facebook, I'm probably looking a little low, you know. They actually lowered Paul in a basket. He had to get out of Dodge, right? Damascus. And so he went off and I suppose he was really talking with the Lord out there in the wilderness, which is some something akin to what Jesus did after he was baptized. 40 days, 40 nights, tempted. If you truly are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. What kind of question was that? If you truly are the Son of God. Well, he is, and his name is Jesus, but he didn't yield to that temptation. And the beautiful thing for us is that Jesus is everything that we are without sin. And so, what's interesting is Paul goes back to Damascus. And now I'm in verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, or Cephas, that's Peter, and remained with him 15 days. 15 days, that's a long time, you know. I guess they were just hanging out. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And so if you want to timeline that, that's we're looking at like Acts chapter 13, 14. I'm going to jump into chapter 2 for just 1 second. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. I really think that's Acts chapter 15, Jerusalem Council, which would be 49 AD. And if you do the math, that really puts Paul contemporary with the crucifixion of Jesus. I've always wondered, did he actually witness the crucifixion? Was he one in the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him? Speculation on my part, but verse 22, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorify God because of me. Now I want you to think, Paul's advancing. Paul was top dog in Judaism. And he gave that all up for what? You go back and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and then 12. And that's actually where you'll see that my grace is sufficient. And you see all the things that Paul had gone through and how he suffered for the gospel. Paul wasn't really suffering before his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Are you free today? That's the question. Are you free today? Now, I got a little education this week on pronunciation. So the author here, I love these things. I got three sets of these, if you didn't know this. Both my grandfathers had a set. And I got this from Jay Fogelman. He was born April the 2nd, 1930. He died April the 9th, 2015. You know, I can remember one day. He called me. We met in his office. And he told me a story. He told me a story about grandkids. And he told me a story about how Linda got on him like you wouldn't believe, and you don't need to go far in your mind to know what that's about, but she pushed back against Jay because he was pushing the kids, the grandkids. And it was a basketball game. And he was jeering them. And he tells me the story that the reason why he did this was to toughen them up. And the reason why he told me that story was to toughen me up. But I wasn't smart enough to know it then, but I know it now. There's one date in this whole book, there's one date I found in the entire set, and it's 7:25:65. The man preached this text at Lowe's Grove Baptist Church in 1965 on a Sunday in July. 1 year anniversary. I don't make this stuff up. How in the world do I find myself here today on 7:26? It is a leap year. I tried to do that. This is where I get in trouble. So if the leap year, you know, you actually, it'd be 2 days away. Not subtract a day. That's that math problem I've got. There's one sermon I remember Jay preaching. I was sitting in the choir, and the title was Pretender. And he was talking about the song, The Great Pretender. And the argument was, are you pretending? Are you a pretender? Or are you authentic? You know, I'm like, dang God, it's preaching to me right now. You know, it's me. He's talking to me. Every preacher wants that, right? It's not me. It's in spite of me that God preaches through me. And the hope is that it reaches each and every one of you. Just like Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when everybody was able to hear in their own native language, in spite that they were all over from the Mediterranean. That's the power of God. That he can reach each one of us where we are. The title is The Way of the Chosen. But I've always called him William Barclay. My British friend said it's Barclay. I said, you sure? She said, it's all about where you put the emphasis. Barclay. So the question now is, are you free today, or are you pretending to be free? Are you pretending to be free yet not free indeed? For something or someone holds you prisoner, holds you hostage in a bondage and you're on a road to death and destruction, just as Paul was on the road to Damascus. God's grace is sufficient, except that gift. I heard one time in closing, in reference to a gift, in receiving it versus something you've earned. And the analogy was simply someone on death row. Who received a pardon, which then removes the death penalty. And the individual chose not to accept the pardon. We have an opportunity to accept our pardon on behalf of the person in work of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, who has set us free. Who has set us free indeed. That's just an exclamation point. Play the song. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may his countenance shine upon you, both now, I like this overlap, and forevermore. All the people said, man, I'm a teacher. You guys finally learned.
Beneath the cleansing flood.